Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Friday edition of News on the Hill. I am News Director Brighton McConnell, substituting for Andrew Stuckey today as we broadcast from the Booth Park Studios on East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Thanks so much for tuning in, as I said, and we've got a full 5 o'clock hour to come. Hope you'll stick around for Art Chansky's Sports Notebook of the Day, and Dr. Deborah Stroman joins me for her Stroman on Sports segment. Both of those going to be covering UNC men's basketball falling in the Sweet 16 last night, and with Deborah Stroman also talking women's college basketball and some very exciting attendance and business numbers around that. Looking forward to getting into that. But lots of other local news to get into first. We begin with today being a holiday for many of our community members, and the town and county are observing the holiday too. With that, there are several services that have been or will be disrupted over the weekend, including which facilities are open and some trash collection that would normally be happening on Fridays. Head to our news article on chapelboro.com for the full list of the local governments in Orange County, but worth noting that most operations are going to be back to normal schedules on Monday. Big news yesterday for North Carolina's healthcare industry. The UNC Health System and United Healthcare Insurance signed a new long-term agreement with each other ahead of the major deadline of April 1st. The companies were looking at United holders not receiving service or being out of network for UNC Health Services if they did not get a deal done by April 1st. The two had been negotiating over this for months and months and had been at odds as United was pushing against the rate increases UNC Health was seeking, while the hospital and care system argued that those were needed because of inflation and that United's rules around their insurance made it so United customers were more complicated to serve in the UNC Health System than others. The result of this deal, though, means that around 200,000 customers will be able to stay within the UNC Health Network with their United insurance starting next month. Seems like any questions that folks may have are answered on the UNC Health website specifically about this negotiation, and that United Health is getting in touch with its different customers about this too. But the good news is it seems like the main difference on the customer end, no change as a result of this deal. A flurry of local business news was shared today as well. Let's start at the top here. After being closed in Chapel Hill following the Med Deli fire last summer, the hairstyling company Moshi Moshi will be reopening to customers next Wednesday. They're also going to be joined in their space by a brand new home and lifestyle boutique called The Glass Box. So they will share space on West Franklin Street, and Moshi Moshi beginning to see its customers once again after several months of being closed at its Chapel Hill location. Meanwhile, the Downtown Partnership for Chapel Hill shared that the popular Shrunken Head Boutique is expanding into a new space at 161 East Franklin Street. That's a pretty big move for a business that's been around for decades in its current spot, but the Carolina apparel will continue to be sold at that new location, and they say that it is an opportunity not only to have more space, but then to get more work for their part-time workers. Additionally, on East Franklin Street, an Indian restaurant called Zeka Indian Cuisine will be open later this year at 105 East Franklin Street. That's where the restaurant Base Camp was until it closed earlier this year. And an acai bowl chain called Playa Bowls is working to open at 104 East Franklin Street. That's a former storefront that's now part of where Medici Restaurant was open under Top of the Hill, but it's been open in the past as a GameStop, a sunglasses hut, and it is being reclaimed into a separate space once again for Playa Bowls, which says it hopes to open that franchise later this spring as well. Another brief kind of update for a business yesterday. There was a big fire truck presence on West Franklin Street in the afternoon following a report of smoke from the Graduate Hotel. We've been told by Chapel Hill officials that the smoke came from an electrical problem of some kind on Thursday. Lacking more details exactly about what that is, we are awaiting official statement from Graduate Hotel. But in general, they have confirmed to us that they're back to normal operations today, and that honestly the major disruption probably was the road closure as firefighters responded to that yesterday afternoon. We also heard from the Chapel Hill Police Department yesterday. They shared a release saying officers arrested and charged UCL Cabrera Gamboa on Thursday as a suspect in a series of inappropriate touching incidents earlier this month. That was the language used by the Chapel Hill police at the time, and they said that their investigation into those incidents near the Metamont community eventually led them to the 21-year-old Gamboa, who is a Chapel Hill resident and now faces charges of sexual battery and assault against women. His first appearance in court on those charges is scheduled for April 15th. Mentioned the Graduate Hotel and them having some news. Well, not far up the road, another hotel was the site of a big university gathering this week. The UNC Board of Trustees held its latest set of meetings at the Carolina Inn yesterday and Wednesday. The board discussed its upcoming operating budget for the new fiscal year coming up in July. They also welcomed the new dean of the School of Civic Life and Leadership that's getting off the ground at Carolina and sent off departing UNC student body president Christopher Everett from the board as he graduates this spring. Now, among those proceedings, a group of student protesters interrupted both Wednesday and Thursday's meetings as a demonstration to show support for Palestine in the ongoing war with Israel and to ask the university to end contracts with several companies they say support Israel's war efforts. On Thursday, the board allowed a representative from the group, Students for Palestine, to address the board directly and share those concerns, but the protesters then later sang and chanted to the point where they were interrupting the meeting's proceedings and UNC police escorted them out of the Carolina Inn. Here is a clip of how that interaction sounded. Now, this is over the university's Zoom broadcast, which muffles room sounds beyond the Board of Trustees' microphones, so you won't hear this particularly clearly, but you will hear UNC Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts speaking, some of the protesters chanting, and then board members' requests for police to get involved. All of this as well edited for some brevity.
There's increasing demand for a number of our differentiated specialties. These include biomedical engineering, environmental engineering, data science. Porter, North Carolina law and UNC system policy prevent the willful interruption, disturbance, or disruption of an official meeting. Chancellor Roberts, please continue. Thank you to Derek Kemp and to Chief James and our fourth working group, as I say, on applied science.
And then you hear UNC Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts continue speaking there. Again, that was some of the Zoom live stream of yesterday's UNC Board of Trustees meeting interrupted by Student for Palestine protesters. The actual demonstration lasted much longer than that clip, and of course they demonstrated during Wednesday's meetings as well. You can find the full meeting broadcast with, of course, the Board of Trustees discussing their agenda items for this month's meetings on the board's website, bot.unc.edu. And time now for our look at sports. The top story continues to be UNC men's basketball falling short in the Sweet 16 last night. If you're feeling that blue-tinged sense around Chapel Hill today, don't be surprised. You can chalk it up to that. Carolina lost 89-87 to Alabama. The Crimson Tide taking the lead in the final 2 minutes of the game, and Carolina just couldn't get a shot to fall after a good shooting first half. They really went cold in the second half. And so their elimination means that UNC becomes the first number one seed to fall out of this year's tournament. And it means that they don't get a rematch with Clemson, who won last night in the Elite Eight and who UNC obviously had played this season. So a bit of a missed opportunity there. But this season writ large, it still represents a return to form for the Tar Heels, who got back into the NCAA tournament field after missing it last year. And they did win the regular season ACC title. After the game, we saw several Carolina fans start to mourn the end of the Tar Heel basketball season and plenty of celebrating the accomplishments of this team and their general character this year. You can find some highlights from around social media by heading to chapelboro.com. We've rounded up them some of those posts there. But that general character of the team was also something that head coach Hubert Davis made sure to highlight in his post-game comments last night, including here with CBS's Allie LaForce minutes after the final buzzer.
I've been around a lot of teams as a player and as a coach, and I've never had as much fun as being around this year's group. I told them that I needed them this year. They restored my faith that you could get a group of guys together that genuinely enjoy wanting to be a team and wanting to be together. And it was a blessing and a joy to be around him for the last year. And just very sorry that we came up short.
For your seniors, what will you tell them and what do you want people to remember about them?
Their commitment to this team, to this program, to this university, to this community, in a time where there's so much change. You know, RJ and Armando here 4 or 5 years, the commitment of the transfers, Cormac Harrison, Pax, Jay Witt, those guys diving in, feeling as if they were here 3 or 4 years, they're Tar Heels forever. And so their commitment to this program and to this team is something that will be remembered forever.
Once again, that is UNC head coach Hubert Davis speaking there. Thanks to CBS Sports for that audio after last night's loss. And as you heard Hubert mention there, it does mean that Tar Heel fans are definitely saying farewell to Armando Bacot after 5 seasons for Carolina. Smashed the record books in several statistical areas, but he has used up all of his eligibility. Same can be said for Cormac Ryan and Paxton Wojcik, who were grad transfers into Carolina for this one season. So they are for sure gone, and it could be RJ Davis's final game as well, since he is a senior. He went out on a uncharacteristically poor shooting performance last night, but it's worth noting too that Davis was a freshman during the COVID-impacted 2020 season, so he does still have an extra year of eligibility to use if he wants it. Of course, in the age of the transfer portal, next year's Tar Heel team seems very unclear right now, but we know that the coaching staff for Carolina usually holds exit interviews for the season the week after it ends. So next week, we might begin to learn a little bit more about who is staying and who is leaving. Of course, other Tar Heel sports continue to roll on in this spring season, and there are several teams that are in action this weekend. UNC softball has already played today, as a matter of fact. Yesterday, they picked up a series opening win against Notre Dame, but today they fell to the Fighting Irish 10-5. Baseball is not too far from getting started with a series on the road at Wake Forest. They have first pitch tonight at 6 p.m., and boy, the Demon Deacons have been a great program in recent years. That should be a fun series, but a particularly tough test for the Diamond Heels. Meanwhile, men's tennis hosted Notre Dame today. Those matches, I believe, still going on. They face Louisville on Sunday as well. Meanwhile, women's tennis is not too far down the road there at Duke with a match tomorrow. Women's lacrosse is on the road, but they had a much longer trip. They are up in Massachusetts to play No. 4 Boston College on Saturday. Big matchup there. Meanwhile, men's lacrosse also in action tomorrow. They will host Army here in Chapel Hill at noon. Let's continue our look at some local news as we turn now to Hillsboro. Along with being the first day of April on Monday, Monday will also officially kick off the Hillsboro Climate Challenge, a new initiative that is a full month of events highlighting sustainable activities for Hillsboro residents and visitors. 97.9 The Hill's Sierra Pfeiffer has more.
About 6 months ago, Kathy Vinsky was reading an article about how reducing the amount of food waste in your garbage significantly decreases how much you contribute to landfills.
And I thought, well, if I had known that, I would have been doing that all along. And we got a little kitchen composter and we just kept the food waste out. And it does, it reduces your garbage by almost 25 to 30%, we're finding.
Vinsky has been an active member of the Hillsboro community since she moved there 11 years ago. And she said, when she saw Mayor Mark Bell at a party, she decided to tell him about the idea the article had pitched.
You know, do you think the town could do something around Earth Day?
The idea quickly grew into the Hillsboro Climate Challenge, a month-long collection of events all across town. Vinsky said 35 different businesses are involved, including restaurants, galleries, and farms. And to participate, residents can start by picking up a Climate Challenge passport at the Hillsboro Visitor Center. I went to pick one up this week, where I was greeted by Ben Marklin with the Alliance for Historic Hillsboro.
Hi, I'm here to pick up the Hillsboro Climate Challenge passport.
Yeah.
Each event visited equals a stamp on the passport. And on April 21st, during the final event of the month, the 10 participants with the greatest number of stamps will win a climate-friendly prize. Mayor Bell said the challenge aligns with Hillsboro's recently adopted Comprehensive Sustainability Plan, which aims to guide future development and the town government's transition to using only clean energy by 2050. The town board of commissioners even agreed to sponsor and fund the challenge. 5 events on the long list will be hosted at the Orange County Public Library. There, a collection of books about climate change and sustainability is already set up.
We're walking through the doors of the Orange County Public Library, and we're about to go upstairs where the Climate Challenge display lives.
That's Caroline Klukas, the Outreach and Community Engagement Coordinator at the library. She said she's excited for one of the more unexpected events scheduled to take place there.
Something that I'm actually really looking forward to is the earth-friendly burials. I know that sounds very crazy, but I'm really excited for it. So that's being put on by Blue Stem Cemetery, and it's going to talk about how there are different burial options, including earth-friendly burial options.
Other events include a composting demo, a visit to Gold Park's Bee Hotel, tours of local farms, and a variety of walks and talks. In addition to the array of scheduled activities, participants will also be asked to fill out a card with 3 climate-saving pledges. Mayor Bell said the organizers plan to reach back out to the attendees for feedback to see whether they've been able to keep their commitments 3 months later. Bell said to him the event is all about the importance of community-motivated action against climate change.
You have to do at the micro scale, what do I do personally? How do I reduce my carbon footprint? How do I avoid things that are harmful to the environment? So having personal experience and responsibility for climate change is just as essential as at the macro scale when governments and businesses and countries have climate goals.
For Klukas, the creation of the challenge itself is a reminder about the significance individual action can have.
It all started with Kathy Vinsky and how she said, I have this idea, and now it's turned into this whole thing, the library's in it, the town's in it, different local businesses, and it came from one person. So I think that is something we should all take in mind, that truly, if you have something, just put your mind to it and it can become something just like this. And it's amazing. I think it's a beautiful effort.
To get involved with the Hillsborough Climate Challenge, you can pick up a passport at the Hillsborough Visitor Center, the Orange County Public Library, or tonight at Last Friday's outside of Cup of Joe. For more details about the activities and events scheduled throughout the month, visit chapelborough.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sierra Pfeiffer.